Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just gone 7:18 Central African time. Consciously connected, keeping your company, and after a moon or so. Yeah, not many moons, but a moon or so when the tide is high and everyone wants to use the rods and fly. It's none other than Mr. Professori of the Ocean, our very own Adam Kamda, that has joined us. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell us, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafaj. Yes, the winds are keeping us off the water. Strong northeasterly winds forecast for today. Forecast have been quite dismal for the next few days, but hopefully it'll come and we'll get a gap to fish during the week, Shafaj.
Absolutely, Adam. The weather has not been playing the game, but the fishing has still been on top form. From heavy rain to big seas and rain on the coast, the weather might not be great, but the fishing or the fish, they are biting, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, my customers are diehard fishermen. Whether it's rain or shine, they are out there fishing. I've had lots of reports that after the rains, the rivers are flowing out into the sea, which is discoloring the water, and that's ideal for flatfish like skates and rays, Shafat. So a lot of the guys with big tackle are going out, lobbing out some big bonito baits, and putting their muscles against the monsters of the ocean, Shafat, and landing some really big sharks and skates as well, Shafat.
Well, talking about sharks and skates, a lot of the Jersey visitors who hardly fish in the ocean, but they're getting the sinkers stuck in the rocks, and they say, "Hey man, hey, I'm not coming back, man. I'm losing a lot of money here. Hey man, how would you advise our Josie Kazis, Adam?"
Yeah, Shafad, every holiday season we get an influx of visitors, and a lot of them are not experienced anglers, so they end up buying the entry level combos, rod, reel, and line, for around 500 to 1,000 rand. And they really have lots of fun out of this, Shafat. It's a paradox, because to catch, the small shore species like blacktails and carantine, you need to fish near the rocks. But the other side of the coin is that fishing near the rocks, you are bound to get stuck. Your sinker is bound to get stuck. You lose your sinker, you lose your trace. It can be a bit frustrating, but that's part of fishing. You have to fish those areas for those fish. But one of the perils is losing your tackle to the rocks, Shafat.
Now, that cha-cha there from Lenasia, I said, no. Adam, you have to tell me, can I overcome that? I know I have to fish near the rocks. I want to catch rock hard. But how can you overcome that for, your trace and not getting stuck in the rock? Can you get any other types of equipment that can save you from your hook, line, and sinker getting stuck in the rock there, Adam?
Yeah, sure. There's a trace called a top bung. The top bung is like a little, it looks like a wooden top that attaches to your trace. So when you cast out, that bung has got enough weight to cast it out quite far, lob it out beyond the breakers, and it ends up dangling your bait from the surface, so it doesn't actually reach the rocks and get stuck in the rocks. And with this type of trace, you could catch carantine, blacktails, mullet, even shad. Sometimes the odd garrick might take the line. And then the other type of trace is to do spinning, where you use a lure like a Toby spoon, and you cast that out, and before it sinks to the bottom, you work it through the water column and reel it back to shore. And when it reaches the strike zone, you could easily pick up a shad or two, Shafat.
Now, last week you went offshore fishing. I was presuming that it must be unpleasant and bumpy trip. Talk to us about your trip last week. How was it, Adam?
Yes, Shafad. As you know, I've been gunning for the Dorado this season. Every year I wait for summer and I try to target Dorado. It's such a tasty fish and a great fish to catch, because it's very acrobatic. It leaps up into the air and gives quite a show before surrendering. So I caught my Dorado quite late in the season. It was on the 25th of December. Shop was closed, so Novi and I headed out to sea. Conditions were a little bumpy, but we put three lines out. We trawled over the number one area. Then we headed towards the ships. As we passed one or two ships, all three lines went shapar. It was such an exciting pull to start our game fish season. Out of those three, one came off the hook, and then we settled into a fight. Novi was on the normal trawling rig, and I was on a light spinning rod, a metalloid jigging rod. Both of us landed huge bonitos, probably around 10 kilos each. A really fantastic start to that fishing trip. And then a little later on in the session, I hooked a Dorado, which was probably about 12 kilos. That was quite spectacular, a lovely bull Dorado. A little later, Novi hooked a smaller queen Dorado as well. So we really had a fantastic session and opened our Dorado account on Christmas Day, Shabbat.
Well, congratulations to you. You have an ambition, and you always fulfill your ambition. Well done to Adam Kamba, Kamda there. And not forgetting his friend, Novi. Hey, you have to bring Novi on one day, Adam. Or you must just give you know, our engineer his number. You can duet. We can have a duel between you and Novi. How's that idea, Adam?
Yes, fantastic. Novi is a very experienced angler. He's spent many days fishing with his dad and his brothers. And since I met him through the Sipingo Beach Keyboard Club, we've become really close and pretty much permanent fishing buddies. He's really handy around the boat, Shafak. As you know, it's a lot of work involved in taking the cover off, setting the tackle up, steering the boat out to sea. Even when it comes to fighting the fish, sometimes you've got to follow the fish with the boat. And then gaffing the fish is also quite an art, and he's expert at that. And then even coming back, cleaning up, setting everything away, and carting the fish back—it's a lot of PT involved in the, for the few minutes of pleasure that you have fighting the fish apart. But Novi is a real dinkum guy, and we get along really well. Always sharing jokes, and you know, even when the fishing's quiet, we really, you know, find solace and entertainment out at sea apart.
Now, Adam, you know, there's a message on the screen from Asif. He says, rumors are, Adam Kamda, that the North Coast has more snook and kuta than the South Coast. Is this true? Hey, is that a rumor, Adam?
Yes, Shafat. You know, anglers have their favorite spots to target certain species. So if you're looking for Natal snook, the most popular spot is Virginia Beach area, moving north towards Umhlanga. But having said that, as the summer season sets in and the game fish come on the bite, we always find the game fish more prolific around the Bilito area and Salt Rock area, Zingwazi area. And I think that's because we wait for that warm water to come down from Mozambique, and it has to pass these areas before it actually reaches Durban. But here again, you know, sometimes certain things are not, we cannot explain nature, because as we expect the warm water to move down from the north, and the Dorado comes on the bite, first at Sodwana, then Cape Vidal, then Bilito, and then eventually Durban, very often it skips Durban, it hits the south coast, you find lots of catches on the south coast, and then it hits Durban. So it might be the shape of the coast, the curved coast, that allows that warm water to reach Port Shepstone first before it reaches Durban, Shepard. But these are the anomalies that we can never explain, but just observe and try and exploit, you know, to our advantage as fishermen, Shepard.
Mustafa says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda, Bruce Schaffer. Like a show indeed. Just the other day, a few of the African brothers came to the house, and they brought these big fish, and they said it was a Giel Bech and a Daga. But I was skeptical. I thought it must be from this lagoon from here in Spingo Beach. I can't eat fish like that. But can Adam advise? Is Daha and Giel Bech caught in our estuaries here in Spingo Beach? Adam, how would you advise Mustaf?
Yes, Shafar, these species are targeted deep sea, or usually on the deeper reefs of Durban. It's often fished for at night. They bite better at night, and you use live baits to catch them. But they are known to move into estuary systems. If they say they got it at the Spingo estuary, you know, it's pretty doubtful, but it's possible. But also just be careful of pollution levels. There has been notorious dumping of chemicals upriver from the estuary system, and anything that's removed from that system is very doubtful, Shafar.
A lot of questions coming through here, and this is from Naeem. He says, "Assalamu alaikum. I've heard of the wolf. It is a dog. But now I heard there is wolf herring. What is that?" Adam, that's a good question. I mean, I never heard of a wolf herring, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, it's not caught often off Durban, but I have caught one or two when slow jigging. And they give quite a good fight for their size. I think we were trying for Natal snook around the Blue Lagoon area. And it's pretty much, it looks like a tarpon or like a springer, but very slender body and very silvery. They also have sharp spikes on them, so be careful when handling them once you've caught them. They don't make good eating because they're very bony, so we release the wolf herring when we catch them, Shafar.
Harun says, "Assalamu alaikum, I'm listening from London, and when I was in that part of the world, in the South Coast, Aliwal Shoal was the favorite spot. Everyone posted about it. We used to read about it. And how's it doing? Is it alive and well, Adam Kamda? We in London want to know." Adam?
Yes, Shafat. Aliwal Shoal is a world-renowned diving spot. I think fishing, bottom fishing is prohibited there. You can do game fishing. So you can target species like tuna, kuta, and the pearlfish like marlin, etc. On the diving side, it's very popular during winter when the Zambezi sharks come in to pup in the cave. So the divers go down right to the bottom, they kneel on the sand, and they watch these sharks entering and leaving the caves to pup. It's really quite a phenomenon to watch and really quite something unique in South Africa, Shafar.
Rashid says, "Assalamu alaikum, Adam and Brother Shafaz. The rock and the surf anglers have been battling the crowd at some beaches, but the fishes are good and the fishing is powerful. But Adam, give us a tip on how to handle these crowds, because sometimes some of them don't understand the basic English." Adam?
Hey, Shafaz, our coastline is quite vast, and you know, if there are some popular bathing beaches, I think leave them alone. Let them enjoy those few public holidays that they migrate down to Durban and enjoy the swimming. The anglers should move on to other beaches. I'll give you an example. At our club at Isipingo Beach, we don't fish on those main public holidays like Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Day. We give the public their space. They have free rein over the beaches. And as I said, there's many other spots to fish like Splash Rock, etc., where you won't find bathers. And all the anglers can congregate there and really enjoy the sport together, sharing a joke, sharing a sandwich, and sharing a cast as well, Shafar.
JazakAllah for that. Someone has your name, yeah? Adam. Adam says, "Assalamu alaikum, Adam and Shafa'at. The rain has made for some color lines around the river mouth. I believe that these conditions are dangerous because the sharks are hiding and lurking. But is this true, Adam?"
Yes, Shafat, you'd find the sharks coming into murky water because it's easier for them to get their prey. It's harder for the bait fish to hide. And very often when the sharks come close to humans, you know, bathers in the water, it's a case of mistaken identity. I don't think the shark really intends to attack humans. They're probably just taking a you know, they'll bump the angler just to get a taste of what this is. Or they'll bump the bather and you know, just to investigate. So it's not really a determined attack on humans. But it is a dangerous time to be swimming when the water is really murky. But having said that, you know, as I said, fishermen exploit all these phenomena to their advantage. And us as game fish anglers, when we are out at sea, we look for these color lines where you have a body of grayish or brownish water on the one side. On the other side, you can see that ink blue water on the other side, and that's where you find the bait fish actually come and hide on that line, often darting in and out of the dark, you know, the discolored water and the clear water, and the game fish come and hunt on that line as well. So as anglers, we often follow that line with our boats, with our lures, you know, trawled behind, and we often get the strike of dorado and other game fish on that color line, Shabbat.
Now, Adam, you know, I know salmon is salmon for me, but then they say snapper salmon. Why they call it a snapper salmon, Adam?
It's an interesting question, Shafat. I don't know the reason for snapper, But the snapper salmon that's been present off Durban is really another phenomenon. Normally they are like seasonal. You'll find them here for a month or two and then they seem to disappear. But Durban has really been experiencing, you know, thousands of these snapper salmon. They actually make very good eating. They're very easy to catch. And they're present out on the backline. So all the guys booking for backline charters will be able to catch the snapper salmon. And they're also biting quite well in the Durban harbor. And I've seen some really good sizes coming out as well, Shafar.
Abdul says, Assalamu alaikum. A very informative show. I learned so much from Professor Adam. Please, Professor, tell me about the paddle tails. What is this all about?
Yes, this is referring to soft baits. Soft baits is like a little, it's made of rubber and it's shaped like a little fish. And the paddle tail refers to the tail portion of this bait, which is shaped like a paddle, and as you pull it through the water, it wiggles. So all these little soft baits are made in different shapes, so they have different actions in the water. And the paddle tail specifically gives like a kind of a thud sound as it's pulled and vibrates through the water, which tends to attract cob. So the white paddle tails in about 5-inch size cast from the surf are really popular to target cob from our shores, Shafad.
This message says, Assalamu alaikum. My Kalu in Chatsworth is an old fisherman. He says, go to the harbor, go near the basin area. It is producing numbers of stumpies. Go and catch. You young fishermen will be very happy. Is Kalu right, Adam?
There are stumpies around, but I haven't, none of my customers have actually reported stumpies to me, but there are a few around and they really put up a really strong fight, you know, when hooked. I've heard of guys fishing backline as well that are getting stumpies near Vetchy's Reef.
Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda. We have a habit of going to the Midmar Dam and all Hazelmere and all these dams. I'm feeling to do some fishing after listening to you all this morning. How do I set up for trout fishing? Adam, how do you respond to that?
Yes, Shafat, our local dams are more known for bass fishing, not trout. So you'd use bass lures. And in fact, talking of the dams, you know, on days like today where the northeaster is blowing and there's white horses out at sea, a lot of the anglers will move from shore angling to freshwater fishing, like fishing Hazelmere Dam. And I've got a group of friends who actually do paddle ski fishing, usually off the surf. But on days like this, they'll take the entire club and they'll launch their skis at the Hazelmere Dam. There's about 50 of them. And they'll paddle around to all the, you know, good spots and actually do bass fishing. And they really have so much of fun, you know, fishing for bass in Hazelmere Dam, Albert Falls Dam, and Midmar Dam. And even if you don't have a paddle ski, you know, it's very easy to cast from the shore. And you could use soft baits quite successfully. The most popular one is the McCarthy brand. And there you could use tiddlers or paddle tails and all that. You can experiment with all the different shapes and colors and until you discover the one that the fish are reacting to and you're getting bites from.
Now, Adam, when I was growing up, one of the most fearful thing was, hey, be careful of the quicksand. Hey, quicksand. Once you're gone, you're gone. But if you're going, please, I will throw you a rope. Don't worry, we'll pull you out. Do you still get that phenomena of, you know, quicksand, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, can identify quite well with that. As a little kid, you know, sometimes you see it in the movies or you hear of it. And I think it's a little kid's imagination that kind of runs away and you just imagine standing on the sand and suddenly it's just swallowing you up. I don't think it's quite as fast as that. But survival techniques that I've watched is if you do find yourself in quicksand and you know you are sinking, you've gone down to knee depth, you basically fall back onto your back. So that way you distribute in your entire weight, you know, over your entire body. And then you can slowly wiggle your legs and come and bring it up and rescue yourself. But having said that, Shafat, I've never experienced quicksand in KZN. I don't think it really is a phenomenon here. But I'm sure it does exist in some places in the world. But just remember that as a survival technique, if you are thinking your entire body weight is on your feet, just fall onto your back and then slowly wiggle your way out of it, Shafat.
No, brilliant. And you know, we were all paranoid at that time. Hey, quicksand, quicksand. Now look at that. You made a lot of sense that you just fall flat on your back and, you know, you can counteract that. Also, you know, when you're getting a backwash and taken into the ocean, not to panic, but just to lie on your back, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, it's very important to educate yourself as to how to identify a rip current. It's quite easy to spot if you know what to look for. And there's lots of resources on the internet these days. Just Google it, rip currents, and how to identify it. And then when you see it, avoid swimming there. If you do get caught getting washed out to sea in a rip, don't fight it. Don't swim directly against it. Just try and tread water and flow. You'd find that that current goes in a circular motion. It'll take you out to sea, probably beyond the breakers, and then you move sideways along the shore, and then that current actually moves back towards the shore, and that's when you can actually swim with the current and rescue yourself, Shabbat, back to the shore.
Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamra. My uncle went fishing at Virginia in the week, and he was rushing for fishing. Guess what, Adam? He forgot his rod at home. Hey, how many times have you forgot your rod, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, if you go fishing and you forget your tackle, there's not really much you can do. Although I've seen so many video clips on social media, especially Facebook and YouTube, where people actually catch fish with their bare hands, and there's so many different various techniques for it. But it seems to be in exotic destinations with really pristine, clear water. It's not really, I don't think those techniques are really quite applicable to our local waters. Here, you have to really outsmart the fish to be able to get them. And if you forgotten your rod or something, then you're toast, Shafat.
Yeah, he said it. Adam said, reckon you're toast. But what about the guys that forget the phone at home and they are about 66 kilometers away and they still turn back and go and pick the phone up, Adam?
Yeah, Shafat, as you know, today, you know, you cannot live without your phone. You turn to your phone for everything and just forget it for 5 minutes. And you will realize how many times you actually reach for your phone in those 5 minutes, whether it's to do a calculation or whether it's to check your WhatsApp or whether it's, you know, there's so many, or even just to look at the time. You know, not many people wear wristwatches anymore because you've got one device that does everything and you're always in contact with all your friends through the phone. So you end up feeling really, really lost without the phone. So I can imagine someone going on a fishing trip and turning back for the phone, you know, rather than their rod. Because it's you just cannot live without it anymore, Shabbat.
Afzal says, Assalamu alaikum. Adam, can you get us or give us a contact for fishing charter that can take us to the dams? A group of six of us would like to go, but we want to have this fishing charter guy to tell us everything with his boat and all, even rods are supplied. Adam?
Yes, Shabbat. Most of the charter operators I know operate off Durban and do saltwater fishing, either the harbour, backline or deep sea. And those would be simply the best fishing charters and Ibrahim on must catch. But having said that, there are some people that do guiding in the freshwater dams. And you could contact people like Willem Reeder, search for WR Fishing, or search for Skulk Gordon. You can easily get their contact details from Facebook and get in touch with them. Either they'll be able to guide you themselves or they'll put you on the right lines to get in touch with somebody with a boat suitable to take you guys out with the tackle and everything provided, Shafat.
Assalamu alaikum, Adam. I remember my late dad used to fish with sea lice. Which is the easiest way to catch them, Adam?
Yes, Shafat. Here's a resource that you can exploit from the beach. You know, you can go fishing, and even if the shops were closed and you didn't get sardine bait, you know, you've got sea lice right under your feet. So the best is to use a triangular net. It's called a sea lice net. You plonk it onto the sand, let the wave wash up the shore. And as it recedes, you basically wiggle your feet to loosen the sand, and the sand gets washed through the net, catching all the sea lice in there. And there's nothing better than fresh bait, Shafat. And it's such a rewarding experience to be resourceful enough to catch your own baits and then catch fish with that, Shafat. And Stumpy is one of the fish that absolutely loves sea lice. So if it's Stumpy season, you know, pin up a few sea lice on your hook and you're bound to be in for a big fight.
Ilya says, how's it, Ba? And Ba Adam, I want to know those opposing with the shads. One guy was posing with a 71 centimeter shad, and he felt like he was the dude. But do you get bigger shads than the 71 centimeters, Adam?
The minimum size to keep is 30 centimeters. So if you are catching more than double that size, I think it's a pretty good accomplishment. So the ones that are around 70 centimeters up actually fight like a garrick, and it's really quite an achievement to catch these big shad. In our experiences in the last few weeks, fishing off the back line, there's lots of snapper salmon, and in between, we're catching shad as well, but these are mostly around the 20 to 25 centimeter mark. So to catch one of 71 centimeters is really quite an achievement, Shepard.
So Elias, you know why he's posing like that. Adam reckon it's an achievement. Let him enjoy the moment. Adam, what you have for us this morning? The recipe.
Yes, Shepard, as you know, we caught some lovely bonito on Christmas Day. So I just did a bit of research to see how best we can prepare the bonito. So today I'll explain to you how to make palamita sto forno, which is Greek for bonito with potatoes recipe, Shepard. So the ingredients, you start with about 1 kilo whole bonito, some sea salt to taste, a freshly ground black pepper to taste, some Greek oregano to taste, 5 or 6 cloves of garlic sliced, about 1 kilo of potatoes peeled, cooking spray, 1/2 cup olive oil, 2 lemons juiced, and 1 1/3 cups of water. So to start, gather your ingredients together, heat your oven to 180 degrees, remove and discard the head and intestines from the fish. Carefully cut the fish in half lengthwise, cutting along the back and removing the bloodline. Rinse the fish briefly and pat dry. Sprinkle with salt, pepper, and oregano. Insert slices of garlic into the meatiest part of the fish. Peel potatoes and cut into equal sizes, wedge-shaped pieces. Sprinkle with salt, pepper, and oregano. Lightly spray a large roasting pan with cooking spray. Add the fish skin side down and surround it with the potatoes. Sprinkle any remaining slices of garlic over the potatoes. In a small bowl, whisk together the oil and lemon juice. Pour it over the fish and potatoes and add the water. Bake for 1.5 hours. When the fish flakes easily with a fork, it's done. Wait for 5 minutes. Remove from the pan and arrange on a platter surrounded by the potatoes. Serve and enjoy.
Hey. You made me list for that, eh? I feel like chowing it now. I want it now, Adam. I'm coming immediately. Yeah, Boniface, play a nasheed. I'm going to chow with Adam. Adam, your parting words this morning?
Yes, actually, Shepard, Novi took his bonito and smoked it, and actually gave me a large chunk of it. So we really enjoyed it with our family. I even shared some with Eric Spitz, the absolutely licked his fingers. So smoked bonito is also a lovely way. Thanks for a lovely show, Shepard. Enjoy the holidays, and wish everyone, all the listeners and yourself and staff, everything of the best for the coming new year. Salams to you and the listeners.
Walaikum salam. And yes, our duas are reciprocal for Adam Kamda, really bringing fishing alive.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.